Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight for all that you've already done. I thank you for what you're doing right now, and I thank you for what you're going to accomplish before we end this meeting. Father God, this is your service, and you have full, total, complete rule and reign here. You can do what you want to do when you want to do it. And Father, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus, the Holy Angels, the Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Father God, that you love us so much that you come and you tabernacle with us. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've at home, I felt an excitement in the air. A happiness, a joy, an exuberation. You know, God's really doing something new and something different. And we're going to find ourselves laughing more than we ever have. And, you know, all the tears are going to be gone. And if you have any tears at all, they're going to be tears of joy and not of sorrow. God is setting things in order and has been, but he is just about ready to blow that lid off. And we're all going to be surprised at what God's going to do when the lid does blow off. Amen. I thought he was wonderful this morning, but he's wonderful all the time. Anticipate. Every day you get up, just anticipate what God's going to do for you that day. And then when he does, don't get so blown away that you forget what he does. You know, just write it down and get excited with God. Whenever he was having the miracle meetings, one of the things that God's glory is in the rain. And that's why we played songs about rain tonight, this morning and tonight, because we just want God to drop down that rain constantly. I don't care where we're at. I even pray, oh God, let me feel the mist from the rain. Don't drown me, but let me feel the mists, you know, that you're there with us and that you're leading, guiding, and directing us at all times. All right, so be anxious for nothing. The Prince of Peace is coming, is what God said. Be anxious for nothing. The Prince of Peace is coming. In response to so much turmoil swirling all around and so much uncertainty trying to press into our lives, the Lord gave me a word for his people. He said, his peace is in the rain. And I know a lot of times recently God's been speaking to you and telling you he's giving you his peace, his perfect peace. God said, my word declares in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God as you release everything over to me. Be anxious for nothing. Turn everything over to God and be anxious for nothing. And God said, nothing, nothing, nothing. For even in this moment, the Prince of Peace is coming into your heart and life. The Prince of Peace, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, through Creator of the ends of the earth, his peace is a supernatural peace. You know, you find yourself that the winds are swirling around about you, but in all that swirling, you find peace. You're no longer agitated and anxious, but you find perfect peace. God said, the peace I give to you is not as the world gives. This is heaven sent. This is supernatural and is falling down in the rains of my presence. My peace is in the rain. Let my rain saturate you to your very core and allow the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to saturate your mind, heart, and very being to get soaked to the bone. For I am that I am is here. I am your peace, not your checkbook, not the government, not your circumstances. I am, I am, I am your peace. Let this soak in. He is your peace. Sometimes you have to pause and let the word soak into your very being. As you linger longer in his presence, it gives the Lord time to minister to you. The longer you stay, the more the rain will rise and create a flood of peace in your life. How many of you in here tonight, you're just ready for all that perfect peace? You don't care what the enemy has to throw at you. You are ready to abide in that perfect, absolute, perfect peace of God. Well, then let's just start abiding right now. Let's just give God all of our circumstances, good, bad, or indifferent, and let's just abide in his perfect peace. God said a still water flood is coming. The Lord says, I am seeing a still water flood as far as the eyes can see. A flood of my presence is flooding your life and touching every area, saturating every dry place, and it's all just still water, stretching to the horizon all around with not even a ripple or a single wave. Peace, be still and know that I am God. I am your peace. I am your health. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your everything. I am the I am that I am. Peace, be still and know that I am Jehovah Shalom. Peace, be still and know that I am Jehovah Rapha. Peace, be still and know that I am Jehovah Shikhnanu. Peace, be still and know that I am Adonai. Know that I am the Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. Know me as your Abba Father, Daddy, Papa God, who loves you with an everlasting love, who will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, do you know him as all that? If you really know him as all that, then you will walk in perfect peace. You will know that he has everything in the very palms of his hands. And I want you guys to know this with every fiber of your being tonight. And I just want you to get that joy and that happiness. I want that vibrancy that's in the atmosphere over us to come down and saturate your very soul. And that you will have peace and you'll just feel joy. Total and complete joy. Nothing lacking, just total and complete joy. I want you just to let this soak in tonight. Joy, joy, joy. Total, complete joy. You know, and I'm just hearing God say, adversities abound always. Adversities are just there constantly. And those adversities are trying to take you out. But if you walk in my perfect peace, that adversity will have no effect on you whatsoever. All right? Let's get this down in our spirit. Yeah, the floodgates of heaven have truly opened over us. And God's going to flood us with his spirit like he never has before. This is just him speaking. I'm going to take you to the very depth of who I truly am. Some of you have scratched the surface. Some of you have gone just below the surface. But I'm going to take you to the very depth of who I am. And you're going to know me as the great I am. You're just not going to hear about me as a great I am. You're going to know me as a great I am. And because you finally learned to know me as a great I am, then all things will come into fruition and you will have that perfect peace that lasts throughout eternity. And God said, you'll quit struggling. You won't struggle no more. But you'll just hold on to my everlasting arms and you will be secure in me and you will know that you know that you know that you have nothing to worry about, absolutely nothing. See, what we give, this is me speaking, we give God, excuse me, our situations, but we never have peace with him. Excuse me, because we just think that, well, is he going to work or is he not going to work? And therefore, then the enemy steals our peace. When you give God your situation, then you leave it there. You don't pick it up and take it with you as you walk away. You leave it with God, knowing that he is well able to take care of that thing better than you ever could. Amen. God said, I am longing to lavish myself upon you in great abundance. I'm not holding back any more in this hour. The heavy rains of my presence will saturate your lives from this day on. Now, do you believe that? I am longing to lavish myself upon you in great abundance. I'm not holding back any more in this hour. The heavy rains of my presence will saturate your lives from this day on. It's beginning to rain. It's already started to rain. And I'm hearing God say it's going to become a downpour and a delusion that you won't be able to escape from. Are you ready for this great rain that God is dropping upon us? Come on. It's going to get greater and greater and greater. I said, God, just let us feel your mist. Mist upon us tonight. I didn't want to get soaked, but mist upon us tonight. Let us see that you're really hearing us sing about your rain. And we trust you and believe you that you're bringing that former and latter rain. Well, why not get soaked in it, right? We didn't need a mist to, you know, Catherine Walters one time was preaching. She had a bottle of water in her hand that she was drinking, and all of a sudden she starts throwing it all over the people. And when it hit the people, whoever it hit, they went out in the spirit. They didn't mind getting wet. Because God's glory hit them. God said, be still and know that I am God. So I said, God's word is active and brings life, blessing, the anointing and deliverance, as well as the rains of his presence falling down upon you now. God's word is active and brings life, blessing, the anointing and deliverance, as well as the rains of his presence falling down upon you right now. You're going to have to understand, my children, that the days are upon you, where I am going to pour myself into you and on you, and you will not be able to escape my presence. You will carry me wherever you go. It'll be my presence that's going to set the people free. The Lord says, be still, know that I am God, in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'll be your everything today. I'll be your bright morning star, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I'll be your everything. I'll be the beginning of every new day. I'll be your sunset. I'll be your nighttime. I am the God of the day and I am the God of the night, but there is no darkness in me. Let's read that again, Nancy. Be still and know that I am God, in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'll be your everything today. I'll be your bright morning star, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I'll be your everything. I'll be the beginning of every new day. I'll be your sunset. I'll be your nighttime. I am the God of the day and I'm the God of the night, but there is no darkness in me. God is with you always. He's everywhere you are. And I'm hearing God say, I'm not stuffed in your pocket either. I'm walking with you, beside you, and I'm holding your hand. God said, I rule the day, I rule the night. In your darkest hour, I am still God. In your darkest day, I am still God. When you don't see where you're going, I still am. I am he who was and is to come. In your darkest time, I am in your darkest day. I am still God. See, because God never changes. We change, but God never changes. The word is an all-encompassing word. There is healing in God's reign. There is deliverance in his reign. There is peace in his reign. All that he is in the reigns of his presence. This new sound that God has taken us into should draw us right into the very essence of his presence. We should be so one with him that no one will know the difference whenever they see us. All they'll see is God. God's heavy rains are falling down now to touch every dry place, healing the body of Christ of every sickness and infirmity, to bring peace where there is no peace, to wash away every heavy care and every heavy load. God is speaking peace to every area of life. How many of you sometimes you see something wrong, you try to be anxious. But God just won't let you be anxious, because he's already given you that perfect peace. And he's saying to you, even though you see something bad, I'm taking care of it. And then you just walk on. You think, is there something wrong with me that I'm just so nonchalant? No, you're walking in that perfect peace of God. Because you can't change anything. You already should know that. But God can change anything. Hear his voice. God says, I am the God of everything. I will be your everything. I am your hope. I am your light. A lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Today and always. Tomorrow, next week. I will still be with you. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Stop. Pause. Get into my presence. Hear the still small voice. I'll tell you which way to go, which way to turn. You'll hear my voice. Right now, touch both of your ears. You will have anointed ears from this moment on. You'll hear the voice of my whisper. I will speak to you and you will hear and know my voice. My whisper over all the noise of the world. You'll hear my voice behind you with anointed ears to hear the voice of the Lord for every day of your life, like never before, for my sheep know my voice. Can't you talk louder, God? It is a critical day. Unlike, this is what I said. Unlike any we have been seen in our lives to hear the voice of God. Not just through another vessel, but to hear him for ourselves. To hear the true, pure voice of the Holy Spirit confirmed by the mouth of two or three witnesses. I've been telling you that for quite some time, that God wants us to hear his voice for ourselves. You know, you can't wait till you get to a church service to be prophesied over when you're in a dire strait. You need to hear God's voice right for you, right at that very second. And how are you going to hear? It's through his still, small voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead, guide, and direct you. So start just saying, God, just please speak to me. I remember I used to teach people how to hear God's voice and then how to prophesy. But, you know, God wants to not have somebody teach you. He's telling you right now, just listen. Just listen. And you'll hear my still small voice. My voice will lead, guide, and direct you in the way that you need to go, not the way you want to go, but the way you need to go in order to fulfill the calling upon your life. God will not make it a surprise, for you will know what he is doing. He will direct every step you take, divine downloads from heaven, and divine battle plans. As you shift and move with him, he will be bringing a divine sifting in the shaking. I'm telling you, church, if you would just listen for God's voice, you will hear his plans for your life every day. He wants to speak to you every day and tell you exactly what's going on around about you, what's going on with your family, your friends, your work. He wants to speak to you daily. Remember the story of my testimony is when I was first born again, I thought I had done something that displeased God, and so I didn't pray for 3 days. And then one morning I got up and stood by my sliding glass door, and I looked out at the trees, and I saw God. I was going to say how beautiful the trees are, but without thinking, I said, oh, God. And he started laughing. He said, I've been waiting 3 whole days to hear you. So you see, God's waiting to hear your voice. It doesn't matter if you think you did something wrong or not. Always talk to your Father. Don't tune him out. He wants to hear you. And he said, I have something I want to tell you. It's important. And he had to wait 3 days. In a tattoo, I forgot what it was. But he had to wait 3 days for me to come to him so he could tell me what he needed to tell me. All those 3 days I missed out from hearing God's voice and hearing his direction. So if you think you've done something wrong, just repent. And, you know, go before your Father and repent quickly and let him start talking to you. I'm hearing God say the demonic forces of hell are at work constantly talking to you, whispering things into your ears, and you hear them and you believe them. He said, why don't you just hear my voice and my voice only, and then believe what I'm saying to you instead of believing what the dark side is saying to you. Amen. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? Because, you know, so many people that you minister to, they say these voices tell me to do this and these voices tell me to do that. Well, tune them out and let God tell you what to do. And God's saying there's a big difference between his voice and the enemy's voice. And whenever you're in tune, whenever you're walking in the Spirit and in tune to God's voice, you'll know who's talking to you. You know exactly how he talks. You know what he would say and what he wouldn't say. Even though the enemy tries to mimic God, he can't. Don't be alarmed. No, I said this. Don't be alarmed. He's looking to find divine gold. It's going to sparkle, shine, and glow for his glory. It's his divine nature shining through his people, working in you and through you. You will not only tell them about Jesus, you will show the world who he is. And I said that about the gold because God's been showing me that people are going to start carrying the gold with them. And it will sparkle from them. And it's going to draw attention to you, who is the Christ in you, and you're going to drop gold dust wherever you go. I'm excited about that because, you know, we've been in services. I've been in services where people say, if you look around, you'll find, you know, diamonds or whatever on the chair on the floor, and I found out, and people say, oh, look, I found a diamond. And I found out later that those diamonds were planted to get the people to keep coming back to the church. And see, this isn't what's going to happen. This is going to be the real thing. This is going to be God's gold. Because you've been in his presence, you're going to have the gold from him on you, and it's going to be a divine encounter. America is coming back from the brink. The Lord says, it's not just about you, but all those that your ministry will touch. For I am raising up my sons and daughters in this hour and in many kingdom-minded ministries in a Malachi 3:3 reality. For my refiner's fire, and that's what Malachi talks about. For my refiner's fire will purify the sons of Levi, my royal priesthood. God is bringing his, he's been bringing his fire for about a year now, hasn't he, in our meetings. And God said, I am bringing my fire to refine them. I have to, because they will minister before me in all purity, in all holiness, and in my righteousness. Read that again. I am bringing my fire to refine them. I have to, because they will minister before me in all purity, in all holiness, and in my righteousness. Then my fire will fall on them, and they will burn with a holy passion, fire and zeal, and they will set this nation on fire. Remember, God told, been telling us he wants us to be fire carriers. He wants us to just burn up all the chaff in other people's lives through the pure anointing that's going to flow out from us. You should be anxious about this. You know, can't hardly wait for God to start moving and to do his divine. Well, we're not supposed to be anxious about anything. Be excited about this, waiting for God to do all the things he's talking about. All right, America is coming back from the brink. God has heard the cries of his people. The tide is turning. I am turning it all around, says the Lord God Almighty. America is not about the governments of the earth. It's about the government of my kingdom, says the Lord. The government of God is invading the earth, and it is coming into America, into the churches and into the highways and the byways. Hear this word tonight and share it with all that you can, because it will resound loudly through the streets from one mouth to the next, spreading like wildfire. Now, I said that because people out there are hungry and are thirsty. They won't ever go into a house of God until God touches them. But in the meantime, you need to be the mouthpiece for God out there, and you need to spread this word of what God is doing upon the earth. And as you are a mouthpiece, and as a witness for Jesus, you're going to bring many, many souls into the kingdom. Now, we've been sort of selfish. We've been sitting here for years just eating and eating and eating of God's goodness. Now it's time for us to take it to the highways and to the byways and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its purity. But the only way you can do that and win souls is if you've been allowing God to cleanse you and rearrange you and take out the old junk and to replace it with his glory. And I know that most of you in here have. And I know that you're waiting for God to do the things he's promised you he's going to do. But while you're waiting, draw closer to God. All right, I have seen people spiritually riding horses, and they're white horses. I get this dream all the time. Through the streets with great acceleration, shouting, the glory of God is coming, the glory of God is coming, the glory of God is coming. And you know, and God's been showing me this, that his saints are on their horses ready to go. You're standing at the gate just ready to go whenever he speaks and to spread the gospel of God throughout the land. Somebody told me they got their passport together the other day, or renewed it or something. And I think we all maybe need to get our passports together so that whenever God speaks, we don't say, well, I'd get a passport. You're already geared up. You're already ready to go. All right. The Lord said, this will flow into the rural areas, not just in urban places only. Streams with my fire on water will flow and burn with my glory, flooding and affecting every area of life. You know, and it's God's glory is going to go into the drug places, the homeless places. you're going to see those people so on fire for God all of a sudden, because overnight God's going to just pour his fire into those places. And we're going to see a great turnaround in the kingdom of darkness. And God said, you've been lapping up the water of the Holy Spirit. And now, God, you're full of the Holy Spirit water now. And now God wants you to pour that water out onto the dry and thirsty ground. And I've noticed lately when I'm praying for people, he has me lay my hands on their stomach. And I can tell whether or not you have the living waters or it's still stagnant waters. I can feel that. And so if it's still and stagnant, then I pray for the dam to break up so that the living waters can come gushing out of you. So maybe what you need to do is every day put your hand on your stomach and say, living waters, come forth. You just need to speak to your waters in there and tell it to come forth. Don't let it get stagnant. Don't let a dam build up around about it. But you get yourself geared up so God can use you any way he wants to. In a flood, everything gets wet. Nothing is left untouched. This will affect every area of society. This flood will come into the schools once again. You can't keep God out of the schools. Prayer will come back into the schools. God will come back into every church, into every highway, and every byway. And yes, come back into government. You can't keep God out. It's not a separation of church and state, because it's about raising up righteous leaders. And God, you know, I pray about that for the White House all the time and about the leaders in there. And God said, I am cleaning house and I'm going to have righteous leaders set over my people. I'm no longer going to let the darkness rule my people. So, you know, we just have to keep praying. Doesn't matter what you're reading and hearing. Most of us lies anyhow. And we just have to believe God and believe what he says and trust him. God said, I will raise up righteousness and righteous leaders from local governments to the White House, says the Lord, God Almighty, and they will rule with a kingdom mindset in the mind of Christ for good of all. And this nation will come back to its roots, for the foundations were good, built upon my Logos word and my Rhema word. America did have good roots. I remember when I was young, they had good roots. But all those roots have decayed and rotted, and now God's is coming through again to make America strong again. And we will once again, and I'm hearing God say, we are the generation that's going to see America rise up out of the pit and become the holy nation that God's always meant her to be. I think that's powerful. Then I'm hearing him say, how am I going to do that? I'm going to do that through you. You will go forth with my righteousness, and you will spread my word of holiness and peace and long-suffering. And it's you I'm going to use to bring America back to her knees once again. God said the culmination of all things is coming to pass right now. And I think it's exciting. It's an exciting time that we live in. You know, it's no more just go to church and sit and go home. We're going to be on fire constantly, and God's going to be constantly speaking wisdom into us, and then he's going to use us then to set the world on fire. All right? I'm hearing God say the devil has no place in you unless you give it to him. He knows he can't do anything to you. He's already been given his orders to leave you alone. And the only way he can do anything to you is if you allow him to. He said, you know my word. You know where he came from. Send him back to the pit. And don't let him have any place here in your life. All right. It was America was built upon freedom and equality for all. And so that men would live in the pursuit of freedom with a God-given dream in their hearts and souls. And when the world told them that they could not, America gave them the freedom to say, yes, you can. It is a freedom not just to do anything, but freedom in a sense that is pure and righteous, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you know, guys, if you just stop and really, I don't know about you, but I meditate on when I was younger, you know, and just looking around about me now as I'm older with wisdom, and, you know, think about the things that were happening. You know, there was corruption from day one. This isn't just something that just happened. But it was corruption from day one. And because the church did nothing about it, but the church said, well, that's none of our business, we've allowed the darkness to creep in and overtake. It's our fault. And we're not going to do that no more, because it is our business. we are God's vessels down here that he wants to work through to give the truth of his word. Isn't that right? All right, many more, God said, many more kingdom-minded ministries will be raised up in this hour, in all purity and in all holiness, with such freedom of God's Spirit that they won't be out of balance. And there's a lot of out of balance right now in the house of God. They won't be out of balance having both Logos and Rhema, bread and wine, in equal portions. In other words, God's been saying, my church is unbalanced. You either go to this end or you go to that end. You never find the middle. And I've been praying, God, let the people get to the middle. Because I deal with people, they're over here. Next thing I know, they say, now they're over here. And you bet God wants you in the middle, well balanced, so that he can use you. Because he can't use a person that's out of balance. You have to be well balanced and have the wisdom of God running through you. Okay, instead of equal portions. Receive this word for what is coming to America. Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what I am about to do. How many times does God have to say that before we believe that? He's been saying that over and over and over again. Will you catch that word tonight? We have not seen nor heard what God is going to do yet. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the mundane. I'm really tired of the mundane. And I want the greater works. I want to see people's lives changed and rearranged. I really do. I'm tired of seeing people come in the house one way and leave that way. I want to see God totally and completely consume a person and make them just like his son Jesus. I don't want it to be a long, drawn-out thing because he said he's a God of the suddenlies. So I want to see him suddenly move upon the people. Amen. And I'm hearing God say some of your hearts, you are full of love and compassion. And there's people in your lives that you've really been praying for. And sometimes you think, God, are you ever going to answer this prayer? And God said, suddenly he is going to answer the prayer. And then you're going to have them at your doorstep. And how are you going to handle them? Come on. Because you've asked God to do something in their life and to change them. And so that's what he's doing. And he's going to send them to you to minister to. I know what that's like. And so be careful what you ask for. Because you're going to get it. God said, okay, you want this person changed? Here they are. Now, you minister to them in their unlovely state. You love the unlovable. You pour love into them and grace and mercy into them. You ask for it, so here it is. Now work with it. Some of you in here, you've asked God for things. You say, oh my God, what have I done? You heard when I cried. Now here it is. See, he is fixing it, but he needs a vessel to work through to fix it. Amen. Abide in the vine. We are in the most exciting time the church has seen in decades. And the Lord said, it's not time to go by what you see with your eyes, but to have spiritual eyes to walk by faith, not by sight. And to have spiritual ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour. If you'll just do those two things, and if I may add a third, abide in me, says the Lord, abide in the vine. And that's John 15:4. So God said, it's not time to go by what you see with your eyes, but to have spiritual eyes to walk by faith, not by sight. And to have spiritual ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour. If you'll just do those two things, and if I may add a third, abide in me, says the Lord, abide in the vine. Abide in me, and everything else will come automatically. See that? The fruit will be produced automatically. There will be no striving, no working it up, only abiding in me, and the fruit will automatically come in a place of rest. Get into the reins of my presence and the sunshine of my Son, S-O-N, shining down on your life, for this is a time to flourish in the house of my God. It's a time for your ministries to flourish. It's a time for your churches to flourish. It is time for your lives to flourish like never before. Get ready. You are in Isaiah 5:7, vineyard of the Lord. God continues, said, the rain is falling and the sun is shining down on you now, right now. These will be the best days of your life from this day on. Soak in his presence. Get the sun, get the logos, and eat fresh bread and fresh wine every day. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. We think that's a little children's prayer, but it's really it's a magnificent prayer. When you ask God to give you this day our daily bread, you're asking God to give you your instructions for the day. You're asking him to be with you throughout the day, to give you wisdom on how to handle the cares of this world. And God said he's been separating the church from the world, and now he's going to bring the world into the church because he's now separated the church, and those who are not going to serve him have been shaken loose from the vine, and all he has now is pure, righteous people that will minister to the lost and dying world out there that have been longing to hear about the love of Christ. Amen. You know, we sat in the glory, the miracle meetings, and we received from God, and now he's filled us to the brim. It's time for us to overflow onto others that we come in contact with. It's time we quit hoarding what we receive to ourselves, and it's time we give forth to save a lost and a dying world. Not everybody's going to receive you. They just are not. You know, so get that in your mind right now. Not everybody's going to receive what you say, but God tells us to tell them anyway. And it's up to them what they do with it. And you remember what God's word said, somebody plants a seed, somebody else comes along and waters the seed, and then finally somebody else harvests the seed. And the problem is, if you're ministering to somebody, you want to plant, water, and harvest. You want to see you want to get the harvest of that soul, but it doesn't always work that way. There's many people that I've planted seeds in and never got to water them and never saw the harvest, but I heard from them saying, because you did this, this, and this, I now have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I never got to see the steps, but they did take place. See, that's selfish. That's prideful. You want to be the one to say, see what I did, see what I did. You didn't do anything but plant a seed. Then God goes from there. Amen. You know, saying plant the seed, that's like a prideful man who, whenever, you know, they have a baby, see what I did, see what I did. You dummy, you didn't do nothing. It was God that planted the seed, right? And you're taking all the credit for nothing. Not anything you did. God just used a vessel to plant the seed. He used the Holy Spirit to plant the seed of Jesus, right? Come on. Get out of it. This is what God's saying. Get out of your arrogance and move on. This is God's child that he lent to you. I don't know why I'm saying this, but here it is. And he's going to judge you one day how you raised that child. So maybe you better watch what you're doing. You might not be judged so nicely. Might get slapped on the head because you didn't do it right. Amen? All right, then. Eat at the table of the Lord. Is that where I'm at? Eat at the table of the Lord every day. Enjoy his fresh bread, which is his word, and the fresh wine of his spirit, and you'll be the healthiest people on the face of the planet. The Lord says, in this kingdom government, there is the best health care program where health and healing will flow in your veins. For my Father is Jehovah Rapha, Yeshua, I can't say these words, Jesus the Messiah. His blood flows in your veins, for you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and the blessings of Abraham flow in your family line. Every blessing, God's been telling me to tell people, every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is yours. So he's telling you right there that all those blessings flow in your family line, but what are you doing with the blessings? Are you making them curses? In other words, are you coming against God? Are you not doing what God's asking you to do? And so the blessings turn to curses, you know? And God doesn't want that to happen. He wants every blessing. If you want to know what their blessings are, read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and see how they were blessed in a dark time. God can bless you. Doesn't matter what's going on around about you. God can bless you. And, you know, sometimes we don't want to be blessed when others are around about us because we don't want them to reap from our blessing. And all you're doing there is cursing yourself. Amen. I mean, I'm saying that because about 2 months ago, I said, God, you blessed me, but then those around about me are the ones that reap from your blessing me. He said, do you want me to quit blessing you? I said, no, I'm sorry. I retract all I just said. So, you know, when God blesses you, it is so you others can be blessed. All right? So don't try to hoard it to yourself, or God will take everything from you. And I'm hearing God say, this is a time that God's going to open up Sarah's womb, and ministries are going to blossom, and many children are going to be brought into the house of God. And it's all through you guys that God's going to do this, because he needs you to be forthright and upright in all your ways, honest and pure, so that when the people come in, you can touch them with his flood of glory that he's already given to you. And he said there's going to be a lot of bastard children being brought into the house of God because they never had fathers on this earth, and they've been rejected from birth, and they're going to be cold and hard and cruel. And he says, do you have enough of my soft love in you to minister to these type of hearts? Because he said, they're not going to be nice to you. They're going to spit in your face at times. They're going to push you away and reject you as they've been rejecting you. But do you have enough of God's soft love in you that you'll keep reaching out to them and keep holding on to them and telling them how much God loves them? No matter what you're going through, no matter what they're doing to you, God is saying that everyone in here has been born for such a time as this. This is whenever he needed you. He didn't need you 50 years ago. He needed you right now. You were born for such a time as this. Are you ready? Are you ready to fulfill your destiny and to bring God's glory down to earth? This is a very serious thing he's asking you tonight. And he wants you to be preparing your hearts to carry all of God's glory, all of his attributes, and minister to the lost and dying. I've run across many, many lost and dying people out there that they are very arrogant, very ignorant. You know, they're prideful, and they do spit in your face. They do curse your God as you're trying to tell about the love of God. It's all because of rejection when they were younger. Somebody did not do their part in raising them. And so the spirit of rejection was able to come in and bring all its little buddies with him and destroy that person's vessel. But if you are ready for God to use you, God will put an anointing in you that will destroy all those yokes of bondage and set those people free. Now, do you really want to see people set free? Or do you just mouth those words? So you're going to be put to a test now. And God's going to have you, what the words you're speaking, oh, I want to see souls, God, souls saved. You're going to go through a test now to see, do you really mean that? Or are you just saying that just to make yourself look good? Are you really ready for the cruelty of the world to slap you in the face? You have to think about this. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? And you're professing to be just like Jesus? Are you ready to be slapped? Are you ready to be beheaded because of Jesus? These are all concerns God says that you should be having. You should be thinking about these things. Am I really ready to commit every part of my being to the cross? Am I really ready to be persecuted for something I didn't do? Jesus was persecuted for something he didn't do. He didn't go around bragging he was the Messiah, did he? He never said that. He said, you said it, I didn't. Even when people said to you, you're the Messiah, he never did stand up and boast, yeah, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord. He didn't do that. He stayed humble. How about you? Are you going to stay humble? Are you going to forgive those, here's what God said, are you going to forgive those bastard children that don't know any better? Are you going to forgive them, those that came against you? Because, you know, until they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are bastards, right? They have no father. It's through them persecuting you and you showing them love that they're going to want the father that you have. I remember when I was first born again, I was at a prayer meeting and this young military boy came in and he gave a testament because he was as bad as the rest of them. And he got born again and he went back to the barracks and his barrack buddy wanted to fight him and he wouldn't fight him. The guy beat him up terrible. And the guy kept saying, hit me back, because that's what they used to do. He said, no, I can't, because Jesus loves you. And Jesus is not hitting you. He's loving on you. And finally, the other guy just fell to his face crying, I want your Jesus. If he's all this loving and all this powerful, I want what you have. And that he saved, that young man gave his heart to Jesus, because the other young man would let him hit him as many times as he wanted to, really hurt him bad. But he never, ever came back with hate. He just says, Jesus, he kept saying, Jesus loves you. He really does love you. So how do you retaliate? Do you retaliate with hate or do you retaliate with love? This is something we all have to think about tonight. Because to be a glory carrier, you're going to have to endure the cross. You're going to have to endure all the afflictions that the cross brings. You're going to have to become very, very serious with your Father. God said there's no more blind signs. You are who you are. You're either pure and holy and full of love and compassion or you're not. And the enemy will test you at every turn to see how you react. I could put my hand up every now and then. I don't react properly. I really don't show the love of Christ. Because God calls us to be long-suffering, right? And after a fashion, once or twice recently, I said, I'm not going this route any longer. And I stepped my foot in there where I shouldn't have and got in trouble with God. How about you? How about you? God said, if you be honest with yourself, you won't repeat the same error over and over again. You'll learn from it the first time around and get rid of it. God said, the altar is open for those who truly want my glory to flow through them like liquid gold. And that glory will touch everyone you meet, saint or sinner, but it'll touch everyone you meet. It will save souls. If you're really ready to commit yourself totally and completely with all the fullness of the glory flowing through you. The altar's open. You've committed yourself before, but not with all the fullness of the glory flowing through you. And God has dropped his glory on you and all of its goodness. And now, right now, he needs you to commit yourself in a new way.